boys in the hood, and it was like all to the good. Thought I wanted to be a big G, then the gun started pointing at me, so I ran.
But I'm never gonna run from me. I finally found out what I wanted to be. I'm gonna play with the cards I was dealt and learn to love myself.
Love is like a vegetable, vitamins and minerals, essential to feed your soul. Love is like a vegetable, vitamins and minerals, essential to feed your soul. So
this is Sound Effects, a radio playground. A compendium of audio theater, comedy, and the audio arts. With your host, Jerry Stearns. Good evening, I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, we're going to delve into the vast stories of Doctor Who. Even when the television series was off the air for a while, there was audio Doctor Who being made, both professional and fan fiction. We have a fan fiction story for you tonight. This one is from a fellow named Mark Kalita, who wrote a number of these Doctor Who audio stories and stars as the Doctor in them. This one was originally made by Darker Projects Productions and then expanded and remixed by Broken Sea Audio out of Texas. We have the first half of the story tonight and we'll finish it off next week. Be sure to listen for the references to the history of the TARDIS and the Time Lords in this story. So, Doctor Who in the episode called Grave White North on Sound Effects.
I dare say, Doctor, it's unusual to actually see you taking a break.
Ah, Waterfield. Sometimes you just need to sit back and catch your breath. It's been a long millennium. I'm quite enjoying the downtime.
I agree, it's rather nice not to be chased by Daleks, Cybermen, or any of your endless parade of enemies for a change.
Yes, it gives one time to think, to reflect on days past instead of days yet to come.
You haven't talked much about your past. Well, at least since getting this body.
It's important to remember the past, man, but not to dwell on it. So, what would you like to know?
Well, if you can remember it, why don't we start with how you first changed into the Doctor you look like now?
All right. I think it would have been about 2002, your time. My TARDIS crashed in the wilds of Canada. I was in a particularly strange regenerative flux. Couldn't stabilize very well. Even my body kept shifting appearances. And once again, I felt as if my kidneys had turned the wrong color. But as luck would have it, I was rescued by some old friends. Well, sort of.
This show was originally a Darker Projects production.
Oh. Bradshaw, Meredith, this man is still alive. Get him back to HQ on the double. And get that police box loaded onto the truck. Now all we have to do is find out who this guy is and how the hell he got out in the middle of the Canadian wilderness. It's never a dull moment in Unit NA.
Levesque, I'm glad you're back. I've just been informed we'll be having a satellite video conference from the UK with Brigadier Griffin tomorrow. He wants a report on our findings pertaining to those Sasquatch sightings.
Yes, ma'am.
So, have you dug up anything further on this last patrol?
Actually, yes.
New evidence of the creatures?
Not exactly, Colonel. We found a man.
Was he alive?
Just barely. We brought him back to HQ. He's in the infirmary now being examined by Captain McDonald.
Another poacher? Damn it! With all the wildlife preserves up here, there needs to be more of a police presence to take care of these things. That's not what UNIT is all about. We handle the strange, off-worldly things that most people don't believe are real, the kinds of things the Americans used to talk about on the X-Files. The RCMP should be handling this, Levesque. You know that. So, was he badly mauled like the others?
Yes, I do know that, ma'am. And no, he wasn't mauled. Some cuts and bruises and torn clothing. But at least this time the body was intact. Oddly enough, it seemed like he had crawled out of the police box when...
Police box?
Yes. One of those big blue emergency phone booths the British police used to use. Went pretty much out of service in the 1970s or so, I understand.
I've seen pictures. This man you found... What did he look like?
Well, he's a tall, older fellow. Looked like he was wearing some sort of costume, as if he was going to an opera or he was restaurant maitre d' or something.
Did he speak at all? Did he give you a name?
No, ma'am. He was unconscious.
Right. As soon as he's awake and coherent, I want to be notified. In the meantime, I want to see this police box you found.
We stashed it at the motor pool. The thing is pretty battered up, and even has some kind of metal spike sticking out of it that we can't seem to remove. I had Corporal Chambers take a look at the door. He's got some experience as a locksmith, but he can't unlock the thing to save his life.
Very interesting. Let's go.
Well, let's have a look at you now, Mr. X.
You can torture me all you want, but I won't tell you where she is.
Torture? Who's torturing you?
Got to save her. She's the key to stopping.
Stopping who? Stopping what?
No!
Now, you just lay back down and get some rest. We can talk later. Good afternoon, Colonel. Major.
Captain McDonald. How is the patient?
I was just about to take a look at the results of some of the tests we took.
He seems to look better than when we found him.
Yes. Nothing too coherent, though. He was mumbling a bit about torture in some woman. It was as if he were trying to prevent her from being taken away or something. That can't be right.
What is it?
Oh, God, I'm going to have a talk with that idiot Prescott. Seems he hasn't learned to take a pulse yet.
What makes you say that?
Because according to this examination, this patient would have to have two hearts.
Maybe we found a real alien for a change.
Shut up, Levesque. What else does it say, Captain?
This is nonsense. I need to check his blood pressure. If the readings on this chart were right, this man would have been dead.
Could it have been from the cold? Maybe he was close to hypothermia.
No, he hasn't exhibited any of those signs. What the hell is this? This damn cuff must be broken. He's still coming out with a blood pressure that would make a tortoise seem as if it just ran a marathon.
Come on, old girl. Just another few parsecs and we'll be...
He said old girl. Is this the woman he was talking about?
I'm not sure. He hasn't given her a name.
Any ID on him?
Nothing. No wallet, no money, just some junk in his pockets. We put it on the nightstand by the bed over there. a piece of string, a pocket watch, a couple of rubber bands, a nail file, and a small bag of candy.
Butterscotch by chance? I could go for a piece of butterscotch right now.
Go on. Have a jelly baby. They're rather good.
You reckon he heard me?
Maybe. Look.
Jelly bellies. I remember them from when I was little and we'd visit my aunt in England. She'd always keep them around for us kids. He's right. They are pretty good.
Well, take one if you want, but I'm going to have to listen to this man's heart.
I loathe bus stations. Terrible places. Full of lost luggage. And souls.
Get a medical team in here with resuscitators. Stat!
What do you need from me?
Just hold him down. Give me the paddles. Clear. Again. Clear. This is impossible. His heart must be beating so hard now. It's echoing as if he had two hearts.
All right, you people get out of here. I think things are under control. Levesque, you stay.
Do you have any idea what's happening, Colonel?
Maybe. Let's wait a little longer.
What's happening?
Stay still. Watch him.
My God, what the hell just happened?
Congratulations. You've both just made your first contact with an alien species.
Not a bad day, if I say so myself.
It was all right. Yeah, we bagged a few fox, sure, but... well, I guess that should get us some decent cash.
I want a bear tomorrow.
A bear? You want to tell me how we're going to get a goddamn bear out of here?
I'm not talking about the whole bear, you idiot. Just the hide. I want to sell it for a rug.
Yeah, I guess. Hey, you reckon there are any good bobcats out here anywhere?
Yeah. My brother shot a few nice-looking cats near the Manitoba border the year before last. He kept one of the pelts for himself. Made a hat and some gloves out of it.
Well, I could use them myself right about now. God, it's cold out here.
Here. Have another swig of this.
Thanks. Oh! That's what I call antifreeze!
Hey. Did you hear that?
Hear what?
Sounded like somebody or something walking around over there.
You're going nuts. Here, have some more of this, brandy. It should calm your nerves.
Man, I hope it ain't the Mounties. They don't take too kindly to folks hunting in a wildlife preserve.
Hey, if it was the cops or the Mounties, don't you think they would have nabbed us already?
There it goes again. I think I'm gonna go check this out.
Well, you should take your rifle with you, you know, just in case. Who knows? It could be that bear you wanted.
Just cover me, okay?
Oh, yeah, whatever. Hey, you see anything yet?
Can't you keep your mouth shut? Now, what do we have here?
I got you, man. Hey, you were right in there, man? Come on. Hey, you still there? Come on. No.
So, you think you may know this guy?
Well, we may know of him, at least.
We?
Unit Command, back in Britain.
Home Office?
Yes. Here, look at these photographs.
Hey, that looks like the police box we found.
These photos were all taken by unit photographers. This first one was in London, February of 1968.
Ah, back when the legendary Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart was just a colonel. Sorry, ma'am. Who's that man near it? The one who looks like Moe from the Three Stooges?
Now look at this one from early June, 1973.
There's that box again. Nice car next to it, though. Vintage Roadster. Wouldn't have painted it yellow myself. Still, that old guy in the frilly shirt and the smoking jacket looks comfortable in it.
Here's another from autumn of 1975. Scotland, I think.
That can't be the same box, Colonel. Surely there have been hundreds of those things all throughout the UK. The odds that it's the same box are astronomical. Still, there does seem to be one wherever unit is somehow. That's slightly odd.
Oh, it's the same one, Major. I'm willing to bet on it. We've researched the positions of police boxes during those years, and none were placed for miles anywhere near these locations. Now, look to the left of the Brigadier. That tall fellow with the brown curly hair and the ridiculously long scarf.
What about him?
What would you say if I told you that all three of those men were actually the same man?
I'd say you should report to Captain MacDonald for an examination.
Well, brace yourself, Major, for what I'm about to tell you.
I'm listening.
It is my belief that the man our team brought in yesterday is, in fact, the same man in those pictures.
When I was in training for UNIT, I heard about some guy they called the Doctor. I think he was a scientist or something. He spent some time working with the UK branch.
Yes. He spent time with them as their scientific advisor.
Allegedly helping with all the odd alien threats that crept up, mostly during the 1970s.
Exactly.
That's all fine, but how on earth could he look like four completely different men? I mean, plastic surgery can only do so much. It can't change a person that drastically and that often.
Do you deny what you witnessed yesterday in that examination room?
I know I saw something. Something definitely not normal. Something I certainly can't explain.
That's what we're all about, Major. Just because something is unusual doesn't mean it isn't true.
You said earlier that that guy in the infirmary was an alien species. Were you serious?
Absolutely. I had this file on the Doctor faxed over after his change. If you read it, you'll find some background on him, at least as much as UNIT has on him. I suggest you read it ASAP.
Permission to speak freely, ma'am?
Go ahead.
When I signed on to UNIT North America, I found the notion of chasing alleged extraterrestrials and paranormal activity a charming idea. Do something along the lines of the X-Files thing. Retire comfortably? No big deal. Looked interesting enough on television.
I see. So you thought you'd just coast through your commission by chasing imaginary boogeymen, eh? Well, I realize UNIT North America is a brand new outfit, but I assure you the potential threats to this planet are not. Home Office felt that a significant amount of unusual activity has occurred in this part of the world for us to be stationed here. The files you've read about Lethbridge Stewart's exploits in the UK were very real, Major, not tabloid fiction. I assure you, it all happened.
Like Mulder used to say, I want to believe. And I think I'm starting to more and more now.
Levesque, I think our work is only beginning here. It has always been such that whenever the Doctor's around, something bizarre happens. It can't be mere coincidence.
So these hunter maulings, do you think they could be the result of a real Sasquatch?
That's what we're here to find out. In fact, I think we've been given a great stroke of luck if this is indeed the Doctor.
Hopefully, he'll be up and around soon.
Doctor, whoever you are, you certainly seem to be causing quite a stir around here. I only wish you were conscious enough to ask a few questions.
Answers are easy. It's asking the right questions that's hard.
You're awake?
Ooh.
I knew it was too much to hope for. Oh well, I think it's time we took another look at you. Oh my, you have changed. And by the look of a certain parts of you, I'd say it was definitely for the better.
Aren't you going to say that it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside? Everyone else does.
Oh, sorry. Everything's okay. Trust me, I'm a doctor.
Doctor?
Yes, I'm a doctor. Dr. Jennifer McDonald. And apparently you're a doctor, too.
Yes.
And just what are you a doctor of?
Practically everything.
Well, welcome back to the land of the living, Doctor. There are quite a few people who will be very happy to see you. I must say that change of yours was absolutely amazing.
And not a moment too soon.
Maybe so. When we found you, you were pretty banged up. Do you remember what happened to you in the forest?
A man is the sum of his memories, you know. A Time Lord even more so.
Time Lord? And just what is that?
Where am I?
Unit North America Headquarters, just outside Nunavut, Canada.
Unit?
Yes, Doctor. Do you remember Unit?
No.
United Nations Intelligence Task Force? You worked with us before, I'm told.
Wait a minute. Did you say Unit?
Yes.
Then I'm your unpaid scientific advisor. Delighted to meet you.
Well, I'll have to see what I can do about all that back pay. We'll likely have to speak with the Colonel, or the Brigadier.
Brigadier? Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart? Of course! And Sergeant Benton! Good heavens, we haven't much time. They need our help. There's a Triceratops loose in Leicester Square.
Wait, Doctor, stop!
Well, by the looks of my watch, I'd say we're just about due for Brigadier's teleconference. Turn on the TV, would you, Levesque?
Yes, ma'am.
He's right on time, as usual. Patch him through.
Ah, Hudson. Levesque. Glad you could make it.
Of course, sir.
So, what have you to report on this Sasquatch business?
Levesque.
We've investigated 3 incidents of maulings involving hunters. Illegal poachers, really. In a wildlife preserve northwest of here and just south of the Back River. These men were literally torn apart.
It serves the blighters right, too. But don't you think that they might have likely been killed by some sort of bar, perhaps?
No, sir. We analyzed the bite marks and found that the gashes in their bodies were made from the flesh literally being torn apart like old rag dolls. A bear would have used its claws to tear at them. It's also worth noting that none of the victims' food was eaten, either. Bears would have ransacked the camp for something to eat.
I see.
But it was the footprints nearby that were the most curious, sir. They were definitely imprinted by a bipedal creature, and showed up in our plaster casting to be more akin to the footprints of an ape.
By Jove, man. You don't mean to say we have a pack of bloody gorillas running about out there? Where in blazes could they have come from? A traveling circus of some sort. SKPs from a zoo.
We looked into that as well, sir. Nothing even resembling an ape has been seen anywhere near the Arctic coast through Baffin Island. Well, that is, of course, except the numerous superstitious natives who claim it to be the work of a Sasquatch.
Were there any traces of fur at the murder sites you could put into analysis? Perhaps a sample of their droppings?
Not presently, sir, but we're continuing to look.
Good man, Levesque. Keep up the solid work, and keep me apprised of anything else that seems suspicious. Hudson! Did you get the full file we sent over?
I did, sir.
And?
We have every reason to believe that the man we found in the woods is indeed the doctor.
Found the police box at all, you say? Just out in the middle of the forest?
Yes, sir. Though it was a different-looking man from the photos, he healed rather quickly and, well, very completely. So much so, he now looks like an entirely different person altogether.
And you actually saw it happen?
With my own 2 eyes. Levesque and McDonald were there too. It can't be any odd coincidence.
Went from a middle-aged, balding little squatter to a broad-shouldered, blonde fellow of about 30 or so.
Levesque?
No harm done, Hudson. So, the legendary doctor has returned, eh? Dashed fine timing, what? If only I were there to meet him and shake his hand for all he's done for UNIT in the past. Perhaps we can get him on board again.
Well, sir, he's not exactly in the best of shape after his change. He's resting quietly in the sick bay. Borderline comatose, I think.
Oh my god!
Oh, hello.
Well, sir, if you're still interested to meet him, allow me to present the doctor.
Shh!
What's going on, doctor? Why are you out of bed?
I'm being followed.
By whom?
A lady with very cold hands who claims to be me.
That's nonsense, doctor. The woman you're talking about is Captain McDonald. She's our base physician.
Ah, so she's a doctor.
That's right.
But not the doctor.
Correct.
So in effect, I'm still me.
As far as we can tell.
Well, tally-ho, Doctor. Damn glad to finally meet you. Sorry I'm not there in person, but your arrival came as a bit of a surprise.
An interactive television. How charming. Do you also get Brock in Ultra Cricket by chance?
No, Doctor. This is a private line, I'm afraid. Just from one unit HQ to the other. I'm speaking to you from over in England.
Well, you look familiar. Just who are you, anyway, and how do you know me?
Brigadier Sir Lancelot Griffin, OBE. Head of Unit HQ, Command Central.
Weren't you a woman the last time I saw you?
I think you mean my predecessor, Brigadier Banborough.
Yes, that's right. Powerful woman. Looked like a London Jet zero-gravity footballer. Had a penchant for chaps in medieval armor, as I recall.
Well, I have been told on more than one occasion that I bear somewhat of a resemblance to one of her predecessors, actually. A Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart.
That's it. Is he well?
Just fine, Doctor. Enjoying his retirement down in Croydon. I'm sure he'll be delighted to hear you're well.
Am I?
There you are,
Captain.
So you're the one keeping an eye on our scientific advisor, eh, MacDonald?
Sir, I tried, but he's strong. Pushed me away and just dashed off.
Well, Doctor, I'll say this certainly sounds like the reports I've read of your behavior after one of your changes. So I should think that you're on your way to feeling more of your old self.
Or, according to this mirror here, my new self. So, what do you think, Colonel Hudson?
How did you know my name?
It's on that nameplate on top of your desk.
I think he looks well enough.
I used to have an old gray model many years ago. Some people liked it.
I like this new one.
So do I.
Right. Well, MacDonald, I'm sure now that you've found your patient, you'll be better prepared to keep an eye on him.
Most definitely, sir.
That's what his last physician, Lieutenant Sullivan, said about him, I was once told. Do try not to lose him a second time.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure once the doctor has fully recovered, he'll help you lot get to the bottom of this Sasquatch business properly. Give him whatever he needs, including that blue box you found with him. It's called a TARDIS, if memory serves. I understand it's where he keeps his equipment.
Of course, sir.
I'll be waiting for your next report, then. I expect to have more concrete evidence from you one way or another on exactly what's been going on out there. Griffin out.
Switch off the TV, Levesque. So, Doctor, what brings you back to UNIT, or more generally, our new division here in Canada?
My TARDIS, of course.
That police box? What, you travel in it? I thought the Brigadier said it was where you kept your equipment.
Yes, on both counts.
Then I presume you have the key to get into it?
Of course, right here around my neck.
Well, I can tell you there have been quite a few people who'd really be interested to learn why they haven't been able to get into it.
Simple. They didn't have the key, you nitwit. Now, what was your name again?
Levesque, sir. Major Martin Levesque. I'm the squad leader for this base.
And Miss Chillyfingers there is Dr. MacDonald, right?
Yes.
And that chap on the telly was the Brigadier. Good. Any idea what happened to Sergeant Benton? Captain Yates?
I'm afraid, Doctor, that those men were a bit before our time.
And part of a different unit.
Pity. Splendid chaps, both of them. Ah, well. Now, what was it the Brigadier said about getting me back my TARDIS?
Of course. In fact, I think I'll go with you as well. It should be interesting to see this traveling marvel of science.
Well, make sure you put a leash on him or something.
Leash? Are you a dog trainer as well?
Oh, never mind.
Listening to Doctor Who, Part 2, after this.
From Minneapolis's historic West Bank, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or streaming and archived on KFAI.org. It's where community has always grown.
You're listening to Sound Effects, a radio playground on KFAI, Fresh Air Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jerry Stearns, and tonight on Sound Effects, we're listening to a Doctor Who episode. This is one of the Mark Kalita series, originally done at Darker Projects Productions, but there were additions and a remix done by Broken Sea Audio in Texas. So we have Chapter 2 coming up here, with 3 and 4 next week. This is Chapter 2 of Grave White North.
Have you had any success?
Very little, leader. I detected a vein of corporite 30 meters from the landing zone, but it was guarded.
Guarded?
By armed humans. I approached quietly, but one of them attacked. He wounded me with his weapon.
What did you do?
I killed them both.
Unnecessary loss. These creatures have remained a savage lot since they were first planted here many eons ago. That shall go into our report. Did you get the corporite?
The sensors indicated it was too deep beneath the earth. We shall need machinery to excavate it.
We are a survey ship. We have no such heavy machinery aboard this vessel.
Perhaps we can find some at the human settlement.
What settlement?
There is a village, not far from here. Humans with mechanical landcraft live there. They may have other machines, perhaps digging machines.
Excellent! Though I am wary about entering a parley with them, it would seem despite their minimal technical knowledge, they are still savage in their behavior.
They could be trained, leader.
It is possible. But what they lack in stupidity, they make up for in stubbornness.
The humans would still make good slaves.
Though they are but one evolutionary step up from our Ogron cousins, they still prove valuable in replenishing our labor ranks. Once we have sufficient corporite, we shall be able to power the ship and return to our homeworld with a report.
When shall I search for the digging equipment?
The humans are least active in the night. You will go then.
Yes, leader.
And bring with you a pair of defense mechanoids in the event there are too many of them. We must complete our repairs soon. I grow tired of this world and wish to return to the all-bone forest of our beautiful Danubis.
Ah, there she is.
So, what exactly is this TARDIS anyway? Is it more of a machine or a storage bin? It looks pretty small.
TARDIS stands for Time and Relative Dimension in Space. It's my best friend in the universe. Been with me for centuries. Or will be.
You speak as if that police box were alive, Doctor.
Oh yes, in many ways it is.
A living phone booth? Doctor, I honestly think you should come back to Sick Bay first. You need some rest.
I can rest just as easily inside the TARDIS as I can in your sick bay. In fact, my facilities are probably even better than yours.
Our facilities are particularly state-of-the-art, Doctor. I have no doubt by the looks of things that it's cozier, at least.
Oh, I assure you, Captain, it's the ultimate in travel caravans. What the devil is this?
That spike was sticking out of the side of your TARDIS when we found you. Do you have any idea how it got there?
Let me think. No, Major, I'm afraid I don't. In fact, I can't recall anything about how I even landed in that forest. I can't seem to remember anything since... I'm sorry, but I'm afraid only bits and pieces of my memory seem to be working right now. Nothing unusual after regeneration, though.
Your change, you mean? They're called regenerations?
Yes. They happen when we've overtaxed our bodies to a dying point of sorts.
So instead of dying, you just get a new body? That's amazing!
It's more like a migraine headache multiplied by 50 and spread all over your entire body. Not something I ever do purposely, mind you. It just sort of happens.
So you're immortal?
No, not as such. But my people can live for a very long time.
How many times have you done it? Regenerated?
Oh, about... Well, let's see now. There was the cranky white-haired fellow, the little chap with the bowl haircut, the tall gray one, the curly one with the big nose and teeth, the young blonde model, the hefty one, the soulful-eyed one, the... Oh, dear. I honestly don't know anymore.
Is that a bad thing?
It could be. My people get only 12 regenerations after their initial body. Then they do formally die. For all I know, this may be my last one.
Well, is there any way you can find out? Some sort of medical records in your... TARDIS?
No, never needed any.
Well, you stick with us, Doctor, and we'll look after you.
Huh. Unit looking after me now. Well, there's a switch.
Think of it as part of the repayment we owe you for all your hard work helping to save the Earth from invasions.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Once the savior of the universe, and now relegated to the status of a feeble-minded old man. And not a century past 1200.
Don't be hasty, Doctor. You said it yourself. After regeneration, your memory is a bit off for a while. Maybe after a nice rest in your own bed or something, you'll feel better.
I don't suppose your facilities include a zero room, do they, Captain?
What's a zero room?
State-of-the-art facilities, indeed. Very well, then. Let's go inside. Ever so humble.
Oh my god.
Dear Lord, Doctor, your file never mentioned this.
Yes, well, it is one of those things that has to be seen to be believed.
Doctor, you have to tell me how you did this. Is it some sort of optical illusion?
Illusion? Not at all, my dear. They come like this. Really?
Further evidence of alien technology. I must say, this is positively amazing. Really starting to bring it all home, eh, Levesque?
I keep waiting for the director or somebody to yell, cut.
Doctor, you simply have to tell us how this is all done.
Must I? Why?
To help us get a better understanding of it, and ultimately, to gain a better knowledge of alien life forms.
Ah, yes, well, perhaps sometime over a nice hot cup of tea. But not right now.
Why not?
Because you've left the door open and I'm catching the most dreadful draft in this hospital gown.
Doctor, what's this? A TV of some sort?
If there were actually anything worth watching, it could be. But it is, in fact, an external scansion monitor. It allows me to look a full 360 degrees around the TARDIS from safely inside.
And what's this? Some sort of tire pressure gauge?
My sonic screwdriver! So that's where I left it. Got me out of more than one jam, I'll have you know. Turn it off! Turn it off!
Oh, now that would come in very handy, Doctor. Do you have any more of these lying around? Maybe a sonic hammer? A sonic wrench?
No! Now please give it back!
Sorry.
That is why I'm in no hurry to let you in on the secrets of the TARDIS. Give a species a bit too advanced of a technology and off they go and try to exploit it right away.
What's wrong with trying to help a species, as you call us, advance?
because you're not ready for this yet. It would be like giving the caveman a cigarette lighter.
So you consider us primitives?
Can you recite the laws of temporal physics, Captain? Can you explain the relationship between the spatial relativity of the inside and the outside of this craft? Can you show me how to fix my chameleon circuit?
No.
Then do be so kind as to just sit down in that easy chair and relax. You're starting to give me a headache.
Doctor, is there a kitchen of some sort in this TARDIS?
Yes, a couple, actually. Closest one is down that right corridor, about 10 meters. Look for the sign that says galley.
Thanks. Now, why don't you put on some more comfortable clothes, and I'll fix us some coffee or something.
Excellent idea, Levesque. I could go for some right about now. Help me to soak in all of this technology.
Fine. If you need the facilities, they should be down that same hall, just up a few doors. Probably see it on the way to the galley.
How do you like your coffee, Doctor?
In a cup, please.
I'm in. Oh, never mind.
Well, I like mine medium sweet, if you please, Levesque.
Aren't you coming with me, ma'am?
Right now, I think I just want to sit down on this gorgeous Louis Trey sofa. You know, McDonald, I think it's real.
Probably got it from the king himself, for all we know.
The more time I spend with the doctor, the more I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. Well, if you ladies don't mind, old Jeeves here will just toddle off to the old gallery and fix us some coffee. That is, if he has any.
He would be fine if he has no coffee.
All right.
Fascinating, isn't it, McDonald?
It kind of looks like a cathedral.
Yes. It's quite ironic that someone from an obviously technologically superior world would have a penchant for Gothic architecture.
That thing in the center. The brass console with all the switches and knobs and the big glowing light in the middle. Do you think that's how he flies this thing?
Maybe. Want to take a look?
I do. But it's against my better judgment.
Just don't touch anything and we should be all right. Look at this. I think it's a calendar of some sort. See what it says?
Humanian Era, 2003. There's a dial next to it. I wonder if it sets what era this thing can travel to.
Reach for the sky, you claim-jumping varmints, or I'll fill you both full of lead.
You scared the life out of us!
Just wanted to show you what I picked out for my new outfit. What do you think?
It's fine if you are auditioning for a Hopalong Cassidy movie.
Should be great for putting the fear of righteousness into Earth's enemies, eh?
More like cause them to laugh so much we could just mop them up without a fight.
I think what Captain McDonald means, Doctor, is that it's a bit antiquated for the time we live in. Why don't you put on something a little more contemporary?
Contemporary? Ah, I think I have just the thing. Be right back.
I heard the Doctor was quite a flamboyant dresser in the old days, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, I don't know. I think he was kind of cute in his own way.
Colonel, I'm surprised.
Oh, don't act so shocked, McDonald. If I didn't think Levesque would be back any moment, I'd bet you $5 that you've already had a much more intimate look at him under that hospital gown.
Colonel!
Coffee is now served, my ladies.
Oh, thank you, Levesque. Find everything okay?
Just fine. Man, I thought I was going to need roller skates for that kitchen. It's like something out of that Iron Chef show.
But he did at least have coffee?
So I think. There are a whole bunch of canisters in the pantry. I used the ones that at least looked like coffee. They weren't labeled, so I can't tell you what kind I brewed.
Or where it might be from. Maybe he only drinks Martian decaf.
Actually, the Martians never drink decaf. Though they are quite keen on freeze-dried. But only iced, never hot. I quite fancy Altarian mocha myself.
Any idea what this is, then?
Ah, you found the Venusian Pink Mountain Blend. Quite nice with biscuits in the afternoon, actually.
Doctor, what is that you're wearing?
Ta-da! So tell me, am I a thriller or what?
Well, Doctor, I like the black hat and the dark sunglasses, but that red vinyl jacket and those sparkly socks.
And that god-awful glove.
Kind of went out, a good 20 years ago. Even Michael Jackson doesn't wear them anymore.
Oh, I suppose I have been a bit out of touch, haven't I? So what year is it, anyway?
2003. Humanian era.
Early 21st century already? Oh, now that was an interesting time. Right, well, just have some more coffee then. Levesque, there are some chocolate biscuits in a tin on the second shelf to the left of where you found that coffee. Have some of those and I'll be back in just a tick.
How long is this going to go on?
I don't know, but I think we should just agree to whatever he comes back in.
Shall I get those biscuits?
Not a bad idea. Thanks, Levesque.
Righto.
You know, as tempted as I am to ask him a million questions about this TARDIS and all the wonders he must have seen, I can't help but think that perhaps there are some mysteries that should stay secret.
So you bought what he said about the cavemen and the cigarette lighter?
For as eccentric as he seems, he does make a weird sense at times. Think about it. What if a cultist somehow got a hold of alien technology from the future? Imagine what a leap they could make as a civilization.
And all the advances they'd have in the arts and sciences. They could easily cure all the diseases left. No more cancer, no more AIDS.
But think if the knowledge got into the wrong hands. What kinds of new horrors would be unleashed on the world?
Kind of a double-edged sword.
That's right. Just imagine what it must be like, though, to possess the ability to travel in both space and time.
I've read H.G. Wells.
Yes, but I think the Doctor has lived it.
Come to think of it, this place does have a kind of Jules Verne atmosphere to it. Do you think he's met Captain Nemo?
I don't know. But I can only imagine who the Doctor must have met over the years.
We should ask him.
Let's wait until he's got his new clothes and calmed down a bit. I don't think he's done healing yet.
Boy, am I glad I don't live here. I need a moped or something. Do you have any idea how long that corridor goes down? Must be an extra 35 meters.
Yo, chaps. How do you like me now?
I think we're just really surprised at your new ensemble, Doctor. The basketball jersey, the backwards baseball cap, not to mention those medallions. I just think it's a bit of a deviation from what people who are familiar with you are used to seeing.
Still, might not one consider it fresh?
Colonel, do you still think we should just approve?
Best of four, Captain. Doctor, I applaud your sense of contemporary fashion. Very 2003, by the way. But I really think it might be best to go with something more along the lines of what you are used to wearing. More like you might have worn when you last worked with UNIT.
Are you saying you're not down with my bling-bling?
Right now, a frilly shirt or a 12-foot striped scarf would look like something out of GQ magazine, Doctor. And to be honest, we do have work to do. There are Sasquatches to be found.
Sasquatches?
Yes, Doctor. Big furry creatures. You know, Bigfoot, Yeti.
Yeti? Did you say Yeti?
That is the current activity we're investigating up here.
Well, why didn't you say so? I have lots of experience with Yeti. Large furry creatures with big silver balls.
Excuse me?
Big silver balls inside them controlled by an alien intelligence. They make the creatures move, kill, do all kinds of things. Wait here. I have one last outfit. Guaranteed.
Our destination. Both of you will move forward and penetrate that metal barrier. If any of the humans attack, you are ordered to engage in defensive maneuvers. Once you are inside, move toward the large equipment hangar, where I shall direct you via remote control and ocular receptors. Very well. Proceed.
Thank you.
Well, I dare say, Doctor, that's a great improvement.
Yes, clothes do make the man, don't they? This must have been a favorite getup for me, as I seem to have a whole closet full of overcoats and waistcoats.
I'm just glad you left the bling bling behind.
Well, Edwardian morning coats do err on the side of austerity, don't they? So, why don't you show me what you have on this Yeti business, hmm?
What the hell?
Sir, we're under attack.
By what?
A pair of, well, they look like robots, sir.
Are you sure, soldier?
Yes, ma'am. About 8 feet tall, all metal plating. They're firing some sort of energy weapon at us.
What the hell are they?
They look rather like K-1 robots. Well, perhaps a later variation, but similar enough. Built by a fellow named Kettlewell.
Use grenades on them. If those don't work, get the rocket launchers.
Yes, ma'am.
Levesque, go with him. I'll remain in radio contact.
Yes, ma'am.
They seem headed this way. Let's get back to my office. I have a radio there. So, you've seen these robots before?
Probably not those exact robots, but something very similar. I suspect they're programmed largely for exploration and defense. Last one I encountered went on a bit of a rampage.
Was it stoppable?
All robots are stoppable, Colonel.
How did you do it?
Metal-eating virus. But I'm afraid I'm fresh out.
Well, Doctor, I'm afraid we don't exactly have any of that lying around here. What about this man, Kettlewell?
Impossible.
Why so certain?
Because Kettlewell was killed by the original robot.
Well, I'm all open to ideas.
For one, no disintegrator guns. They'll probably only make it grow.
I'm sure our arsenal is probably lacking at the moment. Two?
Two, I have a hunch we may not be dealing with Yeti.
What makes you say that?
Oh, just something I saw out of the corner of my eye out there.
What was it?
I'm afraid I can't say at the moment, but when things settle down, I'll want to visit the sites of these maulings to check for clues.
That's fine, Doctor, but first things first. What do we do about these robots?
Have your men hold them at bay as best you can while I get back to the TARDIS. I may have something.
You have some sort of weapon in there?
Weapon? Why must it necessarily be a weapon?
Well, I just thought...
Like all military types, shoot first and ask questions later.
That's not what I meant.
Yes, it is. And that's probably why the rest of the universe thinks you're all a bunch of primitives.
Doctor, wait! Phoenix Leader to Phoenix One. Do you copy? Over.
Copy that, Phoenix Leader.
Status report.
We've set up some light artillery which seems to be holding them. They're not fast, but they are resilient.
Do you see the Doctor?
I thought he was with you, ma'am.
Let's just say the Doctor needed to... reconnoiter. I suspect he's headed for the motor pool again.
I wish I'd know that a little sooner, Colonel. That's where the robots are holding their position.
Well, hold them as best you can, Major. If you see the Doctor, make sure he makes it safely inside. I suspect he may have a plan.
Roger that.
Keep me apprised. Phoenix Leader out.
These humans never cease to amaze me. Marvels of technology, and the first thing they want to do is blow the bloody thing up. I swear they're like some sort of mutated crossbreed between Santarans and Ograns. For years, it's always, what do we do now, Doctor? What plan do you have, Doctor? How can we stop them, Doctor? I've had enough of this madness. As far as I'm concerned, they can get themselves out of this one. Oh, bother.
Doctor, glad you're here. I understand you've got a plan. Something in your TARDIS?
Yes, Major. It's called a dematerialization switch.
Great. Colonel Hudson knew you probably had something up your sleeve.
Did she really?
Yes, sir.
and I don't mind saying I'm pretty damn excited to be here to actually watch you work. So, what do you need us to do?
I need you to get out of my way, Major, and tell those idiots to stop trying to blow everything up for a minute.
Will do. All units, hold your fire! Hold your fire!
And just what do you think you're looking at? While you're at it, do you think you can move aside? You're in the way of my TARDIS.
Who is this strange human without fear or weapons?
Well, can't you hear me, or are you just playing dumb? Dumb is a robotic designation, you know.
Your courage is admirable, human, but you are otherwise of no value to this mission.
Oh, so it comes to this now. Well, perhaps I should have chosen the cowboy outfit. On the count of three, then? Very well. One, three! Oh, wait a minute. I forgot two. I hate regenerative amnesia. Stay back! I think I've only stunned them!
Phoenix 1 to Phoenix Leader. Do you copy? Over.
Phoenix Leader here.
The doctor is here. He just shut down those walking trash cans with that little tire pressure thing of his.
Really? Put him on.
I can't, Colonel. He went inside his TARDIS.
Copy that. What about the robots?
The doctor said to stay clear. He thinks he may have only stunned them.
Do whatever he says and report back. Phoenix Leader out.
Well, sorry to have to break it here, but that's the first half of Grave White North, a Doctor Who episode from Broken Sea Audio. I will have the rest of the story next week, right here, Sunday night at 9:30 on Sound Effects, a Radio Playground. I'm Jerry Stearns, your host, bringing you modern audio theater each Sunday here on Fresh Air Radio. I hope that you will tune in next week for the rest of this story and following weeks for more modern audio theater. In the meantime, stick around for Abby's Room for One. It's punk, grunge, and new wave music right up until midnight on Fresh Air. Join us again next week for more modern audio theater and comedy on Sound Effects, a Radio Playground, here on Fresh Air Radio.
Support for KFAI comes from the Berlin Music Lounge, presenting Melvin Gibbs Thursday, January 15th. Writer, composer, and experimental musical artist, Melvin Gibbs will be doing a live remix of his latest release, Amazia Animavia Sessions 2, an amalgam of avant club, post-vaporwave prog, and jazz fusion. Melvin Gibbs lives his life in the jazz punk funk lane, taking inspiration from Miles Davis into the 21st century. More information about Melvin Gibbs at the Berlin Music Lounge is available at berlinmpls.com.
In recognition of the freedom of speech protections on the First Amendment and the FCC's relaxed policy on late night and overnight language, this KFAI program may include song lyrics that some listeners might find objectionable. Listener discretion is advised.
Sometimes you get what you need.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, going out to the stratosphere, or on the web at www.kfai.org, or catch this train wreck for the next 2 weeks. It's archived. This is Abby's Room for One Radio. You're at the end of your week, or the beginning of the next one, or somewhere in the middle, because our work weeks never end, but rock, well, that never dies. Here's some stuff. She hasn't got a